Victory or death!
Victory or death! Victory or death! Victory or death!
Ladies and gentlemen, this is a special midweek episode of Radio Free Virginia. I'm your host, Hank Reardon. This is episode 21-30, the 30th episode of 2021. And today, once again, our governor has decided that he wants to try out some tyranny on us. Here's some more tyranny for you folks. I know you're not going to do anything. You're not going to shoot a tyrant in the face. Because, you know, you haven't before. I mean, I've done all this other stuff that was tyrannical and you didn't care. So here's some more. I'm going to give you some more tyranny. And so that's what I'm going to talk about today. You can find out more about the show at RadioFreeVirginia.com. And check out the merch. And get one of the new shirts. The new shirt is Snitches Get Stitches and Communists Get Ditches. Before I get started, let me tell you about the show sponsor, which is ActiCare of the Blue Ridge, ACTIKARE.com/blue-ridge. ActiCare is in-home senior care for your loved one when you can't be there. Whether you're in Bedford, Smith Mountain Lake, Campbell, out in the country, get in touch with them, ACTIKARE.com/blue-ridge, and they will take good care of you. John and his people are good people, and they care about serving their customers right. Mention you heard about them on RadioFreeVirginia.com. Before I get to the mask stuff, I'm going to share quite a long post actually here from a website called 12round.com, and the title is American Army. And I'd like to give you more about who wrote this because it's phenomenal, but there's no author listed. So it's 12round.com. You can check that out. So here we go. If Paul Revere were on his ride through the countryside today, every villager, every bystander would question his motives, deride his information, question his intelligence, and insinuate that he was being paid by some nefarious person. They would do this right up until the redcoats burned their houses to the ground. The villagers and bystanders would then complain that Revere didn't tell them sooner, provide proof of his claims, or enlist some public official to do it for him. They would do this having never prepared or gained the will to do anything about it when the enemy came. As someone who has spent his life, his talents, and abilities on trying to preserve what was once great about this nation, the utter freedom it represented, who threw away every bit of fortune, sacrificed everything to preserve some of that, an inkling of that for his children, I've about had it with letting things take their course. I do not recognize this government as holding authority to propose any law, pass any law, execute any law, or enforce any law. That power, that authority, can only originate from consent of the governed, and since November 3rd of 2020, that consent has not only been suspect, but more and more evidence emerges that there hasn't been anything close to an actual transfer of consent, election, in this country for a decade. Whole towers of liberalism have been built on foundations of lies. It's evident in their eagerness to play the tyrant. They can't wait to show off their unassailable power. Those sworn to defend the Constitution, all of which hinges particularly on legal and accurate votes, to determine who should speak for the people, where they have given consent, have no interest in the outcome of the past election, and they can use whatever insanity to cover for this, whatever high moral ideals they claim. They are criminals. There is no softer way to put it. They violated their oaths to defend the Republic, ensure the legitimacy of it, and they intentionally failed. One can almost hear the whispered words, what are they going to do about it? The government exists only to A, defend the homeland, and B, ensure the integrity of the Republic. Any concept of fraudulent vote that goes directly to the heart of the Republic must be investigated to the fullest extent. Loud voices on both sides should be demanding that their authority be verified beyond question. Whether that means another election, an imprisonment of the perpetrators, or both, silence assumes complicity. Extended silence, when some 100 million citizens consider the election somewhat tainted, with 70 million absolutely sure of it, it is a real threat to the Republic. Our representatives and senators in Washington don't care because they have no loyalty to the Constitution, the Union, the truth, or the people. They are caretakers of trillions of dollars, and they are right now using that leverage to feather their nests using foreign governments and foreign currency to do it. They've divided the people so well with their duplicitous lies that neighbors no longer agree on anything, especially the value of the Union and the criminality of those who sold it out. They did this with a purpose to keep us apart, divided, while they commit monumental larceny, posing as a government while stuffing their pockets with cash. Everyone will suffer under this leaderless, free-for-all form of anarchy, especially those who made the scam possible, the same people who cheered on today. This is something the world has never seen, a world power, perhaps the only true superpower, dangling by a thread of legitimacy. Its leaders running amok, with hands over eyes and ears, refusing to see that there is no one in control of the nuclear arsenal, no one in control of international affairs, really being so subordinate to a lesser power, like the Chinese. The leadership is obviously bought off, has been rigging elections long enough to lose all fear of the voter, and their loyalties so confused, they don't recognize what a threat this sham election is, not only to their power, but to the whole structure of the nation. They're completely willing to accept a doddering fool in the office that no one considers at the helm of anything, with little or no concern for the fact that intellectually the nation is ruled by no one. Biden is simply there to take the blame for whoever is behind the curtain yanking the levers of power, right up to the moment they pull out the red flag with yellow stars on it and pull down the banner for which so many have died. What would stop them? They have already done as much symbolically, without more than muttering, from the sworn military leadership. When you dip into the Q well, you find assurances that the military is in control, Trump is still the president. If there's any bigger example of controlled opposition, I don't know what it would be. Conservative radio talk show personalities, perhaps, but ultimately the last ditch is occupied by the military, or the ditch is empty. The fact is, we're in it deep. And with not a single ally sworn to defend the Constitution, the Republic, on our side. Certainly not the politicians spending our futures, the futures of everyone born and unborn for thousands of years. When the new landlord comes to town, we will see how big of a hole they've dug for us. They will all be dead by then, of course, at the hands of the landlord, but what's left of us will be fertilizer or slaves. Slavery has never gone away. It's just changed colors a couple of times. The masters have changed colors a couple of times, too. It's not the police. They abandoned us at the first sign of a power shift. It's not our elected officials who jumped onto the lockdown and mask-up doctrine at the drop of a hat, never researching the actual data or refusing to act until some could be produced. They just caved toward Marxism. Why can't they? Why are they not inclined the other way? Because Marxism rests in the minds of government at all levels, not liberty. That rests in the minds of the people. It's something that needs to be fixed. Force them to lean towards liberty. Do you understand how much they've already taken before the lockdowns? Are you not angry to see a perfectly good society run to the brink of destruction by the silence of the people? I'm incensed by it. Every time I see some child wearing a mask, knowing it's full of bacteria infecting them, muzzling them, denying them common connections to other children. If they were trying to raise a generation of psychopaths, they couldn't do a better job. It's worse than systematic racism. It's systematic child abuse and not enough truly care. They're more worried about their status in society than the health of the children. Out of sheer vanity, they mask their children, despite the known science, despite the obvious facts before their eyes, the rashes that develop in the masked area. For heaven's sake, all one has to do is watch the movie Apollo 13 to understand the dangers of inhaling carbon dioxide. No one's expecting parents to do actual research before they make life-changing decisions for their children. Just watch the movie. But they're too busy listening to psychopaths and genocidal murderers, and that's just what we already know. That's established by the job they did tanking the use of hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin that could have saved hundreds of thousands of lives, by their math, worldwide. The only ones who did survive were the ones taking HCQ for malaria. As Matt Bracken says in Lies of Omission, they've already crossed the Rubicon of what the Russians used to call wet work. They did it with Vicky Weaver. 75 people at Waco. Thousands of Mexicans in Fast and Furious. But they were just warming up. How bad does it have to get before somewhere, someone who took the oath to defend the Constitution, the Republic, from enemies foreign and domestic, stands against this? It's more than criminal. It's an annihilation of all freedom, everywhere. America is more than just a place. It's the evolution of individual freedom, boiling around in the minds of men since the early days of Greece and Rome. I'm aghast, but it removes the one leg left standing for the people, the military. Those in the U.S. military should have said something, done something. They see the inner workings, they're privy to what's actually going on here. They at least had a duty to tell us, to warn us, to enable us to fight back, to let us know that we were on our own. It's still their duty, for what it's worth. Unless, of course, the plan is to look on the American people as a threat, as an enemy, and they are preparing to annihilate us. So where does that leave us, we the Americans? First and foremost, we are tied to the land, no matter what. Our ancestors settled it, in many cases, or chose it against what they suffered at home. Or it was a personal choice, and millions have come of their own volition to America. I'm pretty sure they didn't make that decision with the idea that America would cease to be strong and brave and cower under the desk for fear of the flu. I'm sure they didn't flee a broken-down nation destroyed by communism to experience communism in America. We were Americans before the Constitution, before we were U.S. citizens. We came here for freedom, and now they want to put trackers on our vehicles to ensure they know where we are every minute of every day and can tax us for how far we travel. As if they aren't already doing that by taxing every gallon of gas we buy. They listen to everything. They document everything about us. Use social media to keep track of our thoughts. And that's still not good enough. It's too much. It's all too much. And it's gone too far. There's no escaping it. No way out but through. The silence of the people is not fear. It's respect. It's the knowledge that the first people one will encounter on the path to the salvation of freedom is the local cop, who, by the way, should turn around and join up. The cops we've defended against mayors and Antifa, cops we've spent a year supporting when they had to engage Antifa or sit on their hands and take the blows because the mayor was allied with Antifa. We lost some of it when we saw them arrest people for violations of health expert recommendations, codified into some emergency plan for the flu, or the mayor's or county health experts' mandates, the governor's mandates. But all along the way, they should have known it was unconstitutional. So where was their oath then? Did they think that doing their job or following orders was an acceptable alternative to refusing on the grounds of unlawful laws? Did they know that they were ushering in communism by their acts of loyalty to the state instead of the people? Did they see their jobs as it affects the world stage? They better, because their willingness to impose communism will lead to it. And the first ones in the pit will be them. Had they done their duty and refused, they might have saved Western civilization. These are big moves, to go along with doctrinaire communism against your neighbors. Who is left? The military. They know, at least at the highest levels, that this is a sham. They know it ain't Joe in charge of anything. They accept orders from who exactly? What is the constitutional pathway to that? A president, even though he is not, unable to think clearly, must be drugged like some character on a Star Trek episode just to get through a speech, and that's constitutional? Kamala Harris? That's who the military has put in charge by accepting the contested election, swallowing it whole. I'm not looking to make enemies here. I'm just trying to figure out how this leads to anything good or right. I'm trying to understand the thought process of the people who have the responsibility to do something, to stand in the way of this drag queen utopia, but don't. Every day the communist plan is further cemented. A few crucial milestones go by, and it's harder to stand up. Meanwhile, Joe, the fraudulent, sinks deeper into the 25th Amendment territory, being held aloft by strings that are starting to fray, and nothing? Do these people not live in the same country? Are their families not suffering as much as ours? If everything we respected is undeserving of that respect, the whole constitutional structure of representative government, balance of power, the constitutional power of the military, as a last-ditch safeguard against tyranny and oppression. Even genocide cannot function. What choice do we have? This is not something we go to lightly. We have watched every domino of protection against it fall with a thud. Ultimately, I've said this a million times. I just didn't know how wrecked the police and military would have to be to make it true. That the only true guardian of the people's freedom is the American Army. That one made up of tens of millions of individuals, Americans before the Constitution and after it. It is clear that what is meant is communism. Control rather than freedom. Tyranny rather than a republic. Where has that ever worked? It's so irrational that it's hard to see that living, thinking people would see anything of value in it. It's more perplexing that likewise they can find no value in a system that, until the 1950s, had been steadily improving the lives of everyone, all races, all religions. Not always pretty. But it wasn't until the principles of Marxism infected every local government, where being of the government meant the power to rule over the people. In every office, every seat of power, rules were written to allow it, but that does not excuse it. Benefit of power does not create authority. Freedom is had through capitalism and the rule of law. Neither is present in today's United States. If the globalist puppets in our government expect a great reset, it can be given one, but not to their liking. A reset of the republic, that must be obtained through negotiation of one form or another, and it's up to them what sort of negotiation it is to be. They can release the political prisoners in Abu Ghraib on the Potomac. They can repeal all of Joe Biden's unconstitutional dictates. They can cut ties with China and hold them accountable for the election fraud and biological weapon, both of which were attacks on the homeland and acts of war. They can hold a new election, or reverse the one that was tainted by foreign and domestic actors. The Supreme Court can hear the case against the fraud that took place. The Supreme Court can cleanse itself of communists, of which there are six or more. The people of America are not the property of the United States. They are free to make any associations they need in order to secure the homeland. That was the purpose of the failed Constitution. But the intent, the principles, are not embedded in the document alone, but in the hearts of those who inhabit America. It takes a strong heart to look at those arrayed against them and step forward. A lot of that will and determination has been bred and educated out of the Americans of today, intentionally. But there are still those who understand what power resides within the system of freedom and capitalism, the rule of law over the dictates of tyranny. Call on that and step forward. We are all free members of the American Army, and if our elected officials, our police, our sheriffs, our own military will not defend freedom, we must do so ourselves. You know, sometimes you read and start reading something and you don't even get finished. Maybe you're a paragraph or two in before you realize this is good stuff, and I'll bet it's going to be good stuff the whole way through. And I was right on this one. This is phenomenal. I was thinking about some of the things in this today as I had read this previously and thinking about how, at what point, when are we going to just simply say no? Can you imagine if 100 million Americans said no? Rand Paul, he talked about this. They can't throw us all in jail. These students that are being forced to mask up in Virginia, if they all just refuse to do it, sure, they could put one or five or 10 in detention. They could maybe suspend a couple, but they can't suspend them all. They get paid when butts are in those seats in those schools. And the same is true of our society. Our entire society works the same way. I have an install tomorrow. I have to drive down to Danville. It's at a school. It's at an autistic school. I refuse to wear a mask. I'm not going to do it. So we'll see how that goes tomorrow. But I'm not doing it. I know the principal. He's a nice guy. I think he's a reasonable guy. So we'll see what happens. But I'm going to very calmly explain to him, I am not wearing a mask anymore. I'm done. And it's time for us to stand up and just with something in us, say, no, I'm done. I'm not doing this anymore. Imagine the benefits to our society if we would do that. I think it would be great. If you'd like to find that blog post that I just read to you, you can do so at radiofreevirginia.com. Look at the show notes. Share that with your friends. I think it's a real good one. I think it really speaks to where we're at. And this idea that we keep holding out hope that someone else is going to save the day. Someone else is going to fix the problem. And we keep wondering, well, we keep knowing that now is the time and we need to fight. And yet we don't. And I wonder, looking back on history, if the people of China, while Mao was taking over, didn't wonder, I wonder if I should stop this guy. It'll probably be fine. It'll work itself out. You know, when Lenin was having this revolution, this red revolution in Russia, did the people just go, you know, that guy's crazy. He'll never take over. It'll never happen. It'll be fine. It'll work itself out. Right will win out, right? Hitler, nobody thought that guy. Nobody thought that guy was going to get anywhere. And yet, before they knew it, the entire country was under Nazi rule. And each one of these times where the people said, it'll all work itself out. It'll be fine. I just need to focus on my life, or, hey, the football game's on, or whatever. We need to fight back. You know, maybe we need to actually fight back. Maybe it's time for us to get violent. I don't know. But clearly sitting here, holding out hope for the best, isn't the solution. Hasn't been the solution in the past, and history is a great school teacher. History is the ultimate school teacher to teach us, you know, what we should be looking at and thinking about. So let's talk masks. Let's talk with this oaf bozo of a governor of ours. This is shared by Senator Bill Stanley. He says, Senate Republicans' response to Northam's school mandate. Governor Northam's announcement today makes it clear that he was not telling the truth in his attempt to impose a mask mandate last Thursday when he falsely claimed the legislature made me do it. Now, having been called on his too clever by half, nice, attempt to defray responsibility for his latest executive overreach, he has imposed yet another mandate usurping local authority without any opportunity for public input. This decision reinforces our concern about House Bill 7001 giving the governor unfettered discretion to spend $800 million. These decisions are best made at the local level by officials who are directly accountable to those affected by the mandates. There are 156 days until January 15th. 2022, when the term of Governor Blackface Northam, I added that, and Mercer will mercifully end. We look forward to that day in the hopes the people of Virginia will have elected a new leader with sound judgment and better understanding of the constitutional limits placed on the executive. Well, we'll see. We'll see about that. Great comment. A mandate is not law. Exactly. I've been saying this. This is not law. We just say, hey, you have to put a mask on. No. Well, what do you mean no? It's a law. It's not a law. But it's a mandate. Still not a law. But you have to. No. It's time to push back. So this is from ABC News. Masks will be mandated in all Virginia schools under new public health order. So I'm going to read through this, and then I'm going to dive into the actual order specifics and find out, what does it say? Richmond, Virginia, a new public health order in Virginia will require all students and staff in K-12 schools to wear masks indoors regardless of vaccination status. Yeah. A new order from State Health Commissioner Dr. Norman Oliver was announced on Thursday, and it will take effect immediately. It will remain in place until the CDC guidelines for schools change. Unless the order is amended or rescinded sooner, the order applies to public and private schools, according to state officials. So how is it that could be? Well, we'll talk about that. This news comes after several divisions announced plans to make face coverings optional, even though Governor Ralph Northam said last week that a new state law requires school boards to fall in line with CDC recommendations for universal masking. Again, not true. Northam's spokesperson that the new order is meant to provide clarification for school boards who haven't yet complied. You will comply. If a compliance is not optional, you will comply. Resistance is futile. We all share the same goal of keeping our schools open and keeping our students safe, said Governor Northam in a press release. That's why the General Assembly passed this law with overwhelming bipartisan support. No, they didn't. This public health order makes it very clear that masks are required in all indoor K-12 settings, and Virginia expects all schools to comply. Screw you, you tyrannical piece of crap. These people wrecking this country have addresses, they have names. Oh my gosh. How long are we going to put up with this? Northam's assertion was immediately disputed by some Republican lawmakers who said the law left room for some local discretion. Governor Northam's announcement today makes it clear that he was not telling the truth in his attempt to impose the mask mandate. So that's what I read. Here we go. People with health conditions and disabilities that prevent them from wearing a mask are also exempt from the rule. Problem solved, everybody. The order furthers that any person who declines to wear a mask because any person, not just kids, any person who declines to wear a mask because of a medical condition or due to a sincerely held religious objection to wearing masks in school, I don't know what that would be, but works for me. My God says we should not participate in a lie. How about that one? How about that? May request a reasonable accommodation. Now, what does that even mean? What's a reasonable accommodation? Leave me alone? Piss off? Ask how the exemption process would be implemented in an interview on Thursday. Virginia's Deputy Commissioner of Population Health. Population Health? Holy cow. Did you put this person in charge of the concentration camps? Make sure the boxcars can get there fast enough? Lori Forlano. Name and address, said the state is leaving it up to localities. Oh, I love the tyranny here. It's just unbelievable. This order does not require schools to require documentation for a medical exemption, but it also doesn't prevent a school from requiring documentation, Forlano said. Names and addresses, Lori. That's a change from a previous public health order that expired on July 25th, which stated any person who declines to wear a mask because of a medical condition shall not be required to produce or carry medical documentation verifying the stated condition, nor shall the person be required to identify the precise underlying medical condition. Individuals who violate public health orders can be charged with a Class 1 misdemeanor, which carries a maximum penalty of 12 months behind bars. Oh, good luck with that one. And a $2,500 fine. Again, good luck. Blood from a rock, baby. Stone said if a school board were to refuse to comply, they could possibly face fines or the loss of certification or licensure. Bring it. Bring it. At what point do we push back and say, oh, you want to go full tyrant? Okay, go ahead. Go full tyrant. We want to see. Shut our schools down. Let's see how that works out. That'll be, go for it. Yeah, do it. Come on. It will be interesting to see whether any particular school system wants to ignore the order, Stone said. Dun, dun, dun. Stone. Russ Stone. Legal news analyst. That certainly could be a mess for teachers and students. I frankly doubt that it will be that they will deliberately violate it. House Republican leader Todd Gilbert urged Northam to change course and allow localities to have the final say over mask policies in a statement on Thursday. Hey, Todd Gilbert, grow some balls. Names and addresses, everyone. Names and addresses. Todd Gilbert, you think you're leading anyone? Hey, well, we're really urging Northam to please change course here and allow us to be free because we're, you know, it's like, that's what we would like, please. Today's statewide mandate is a triumph of bureaucracy over common sense. The idea of keeping masks on two-year-olds is the kind of thing that could have only been thought up by someone who has never dealt with a two-year-old. Gilbert said. In a statement, State Superintendent Dr. James Lane, names and addresses, said the vast majority of school districts have already chosen to follow the CDC. Universal masking has worked in school settings across Virginia for the past year and a half, and it remains a critical part of our safety protocols. It hasn't worked. This has not worked. It has not worked at all. It doesn't work anywhere. And if it worked, why doesn't the entire society have to put masks back on our faces? Why only in a school setting where a child has a statistically 0% chance? When you think about what's 99.999, that's a 0% chance. Might as well. In fact, can someone email me a story of anyone under, let's say 15, under 15, let's say 18, under 18, who has died of COVID here? Please send that to me, because I'm sorry. I've never heard of a case, not one. So this is nonsense. So it's safe. It's unsafe at a school, but it's perfectly safe at a movie theater, at the mall, at an outdoor event. Oh, an outdoor event. Well, okay. How about an indoor event? Yes, it's safe at an indoor event. And we're not making people wear masks there. We're not trying to be, you know, full tyrant there. This is theater, political theater, made up by not science and these people at the CDC. Every single one of these people at the CDC should be fired. They're incompetent buffoons, and they have been from the start of this thing. Everyone, students, parents, and members of the Virginia Education Association want to return to a normal school year with no disruptions in learning. By helping to make it possible for students to return to 5 days a week of in-person learning, masks are an essential tool, said VEA President James Fetterman. Union. Hey, James, how is it that you have any say what the private schools do? But this is going to apply to all schools. So let's dig into this actual order here from our racist, idiot, tyrannical Governor Northam. So I'll have a link for this in the show notes. You can find out the specifics of this. I'm going to skip around because it's a bunch of this. Whereas the state health commissioner declared COVID-19 is bad, and whereas Governor Northam is a tyrannical idiot that blah, blah, blah. It says spreads from person to person. It's supposedly highlighting all the reasons. Whereas children under the age of 12 are not yet eligible to receive any available vaccine. Who cares? And here's the one. You know, they're saying that whereas universal and correct mask use is an important COVID-19 prevention strategy in schools as part of a multi-component approach and has been shown to be associated with lower incidence of COVID-19 in schools. Okay, shown where? This is like me saying, well, the evidence clearly shows that this election was stolen. Well, I can actually point to how the election was stolen. I could show you all kinds of stuff about that. I can actually say, but they're just saying, no, it's because we said so. Masks work because we said so. You know, your mask protects you, my mask protects me, you know, whatever. And whereas Virginia Senate Bill 1303, Acts of Assembly, Chapter 456, requires K through 12 schools open for in-person instruction and reducing COVID-19 transmission and outbreaks during such in-person instruction is a priority of the Commonwealth. And here it is, the CDC says so. Okay, so it goes on, and it's going to cite some different code things. You can look through those because they're really irrelevant. It's none of this is anything true. Okay, but I'm going to love this. This is great. So these are the exceptions. Exception to this order include, you know, you don't have to wear a mask if you're doing these things. Individuals eating, drinking, or sleeping. Well, thank you, Governor. So when I'm sleeping, I don't have to wear a mask. That's pretty awesome. Individual exercising or using exercise equipment. I don't see how any of this matters because this is supposed to specifically be K through 12. That's it, K through 12. Any person who's playing a musical instrument, any person who has trouble breathing or is unconscious, so it's like if you're unconscious and incapacitated, make sure you keep that mask on. Somebody says you don't have to. Otherwise, a person's unable to remove the mask without assistance. You know, so if you can't help, you know, take a mask off, if you need help always to put it on or put it off, you don't have to wear a mask. Again, the exemptions, they're so huge in here that it leaves these giant holes to drive a big, big truck through, which is, so we have that going for us. Any person who has a disability or meets at-risk criteria. So there's a few examples there. When necessary to participate in a religious ritual, and persons with health conditions or disabilities that prohibit wearing a mask. Nothing in this order shall require the use of a mask by any person for whom doing so would be contrary to his or her health or safety because of a medical condition. Adaptations and alternatives for individuals with health conditions or disabilities should be considered whenever possible to increase the feasibility of wearing a mask to reduce the risk of COVID-19 spreading. Any person who declines to wear a mask because of a medical condition or a person with a sincerely held religious objection, there's your other one, that's right there, to wearing masks in school may request a reasonable accommodation. What is a reasonable accommodation? Okay, fine, you don't have to wear the mask. Simple, right? So you can find this. This is on, you'll find the show notes. I will have a link to this executive order. Ugh, the idea of those. This is signed by Norman Oliver, MD, the state health commissioner, who has a name and an address. These are things you all better start thinking about, because these people can't get away with this. They may be getting away with it right now. They cannot get away with this. Ruining people's lives. Ridiculous. So there's your out, okay? Health condition, religious exemption. Now you could say, I have a religious exemption, a religious objection to wearing a mask. To wearing a mask. What would that religious exemption be? Well, thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not lie. I would argue not participate in a lie. That could be your medical condition or your religious objection. Your medical one, irrelevant. It doesn't say that you have to prove that you have a medical condition. Medical condition is all you need to say. My boys are not wearing masks at private school. This is ridiculous. I'm not paying perfectly good money to recreate the bureaucratic system that is regulated and governed by the state. I mean, what's next? We're going to mandate that they're teaching critical race theory and I'm supposed to pay for that too? Or we're going to mandate that all the transgender kids in town get to go to my kid's school for free and I have to put up with that? Because that's where things are heading. You watch. So there's your update on Governor Northam and his tyranny once again bringing itself to light before our eyes. So stay in the fight, patriots. Remember, you were not made to fit in, you were born to stand out. I'm Hank Reardon. This is Radio Free Virginia. God bless you.